County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why this December, we're launching a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month of free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka The Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left for today's very special episode of TCCP, coming to you all the way from Barbados in the Caribbean Sea, is none other than up-and-coming Leicestershire County Cricket Club wicketkeeper batsman, Harry Swindles. So Harry, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your time with Barbados been so far?
Yeah, it's amazing. Apart from listening to Ben Mike's banter, it's been good. Me and Ben came last winter and we really enjoyed it. As soon as Ben asked me to come back, I snapped his hand off, and Ed Barnes and Sam Hayes are here with us as well. So it's amazing. Four good group of lads. And enjoying it.
Well, that is wonderful to hear, Harry. It really is. And just for the listeners out there who don't know, whereabouts in Barbados are you based at the moment?
Yeah, it's called St. James. It's just near Sandy Lane Green Monkey Golf Course. So we're staying at Franklin Stevenson's house and training at his academy. So, an amazing spot and very lucky to be using his facilities.
Absolutely, yeah. Not many better places to spend the winter, to be completely honest. Barbados is a paradisical island, isn't it? Have you been to the Kensington Oval during your time there?
Yeah, we went last winter when there was a few local matches on. I'm not too sure what's happening with the local cricket at the minute in terms of games. I know there's a lot of training going on. I don't think there's any matches, as I'm aware, there this year. We have been, and it was amazing last year. The party atmosphere just for a local game was crazy.
It really is. I love the Caribbean vibe when it comes to cricket. You know, the vibrancy, the atmosphere. It's just a get-together, isn't it? It's a really, really unique cricketing atmosphere. And hopefully, fingers crossed, one day I will make that journey to the West Indies. I'd absolutely love to go there for an England versus West Indies test match. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
It would be. Bit of a shame we can't come over in January and March. I'm sure the atmosphere will be amazing for an England West Indies game. And like I said, it's an amazing, amazing country, amazing island. And we're very lucky to be over here doing something we love to do.
100% Swin, 100%. And yeah, I mean, that will be making probably a few of our listeners a little bit envious, to be honest. I mean, I'll just give you a current weather forecast here in the Midlands. Rain, bit of snow, bit of sleet, and then more rain. So I think we've also got a storm on the way coming either tomorrow or Wednesday. So very, very different weather patterns. But we aren't here to talk about the weather, are we, Swin? We're here to talk about your county cricket journey. And to be honest, there's no better place to start than right at the beginning, the origin of the Harry Swindles cricketing journey, per se. So, Harry, what were your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching this wonderful game?
Yeah, I remember the 2005 Ashes. I would have been about 6 years old. I remember getting the box set when I was, probably that Christmas. Mum and Dad have never played cricket in their lives. So I'm not really too sure how I got involved necessarily. I remember Mum throwing me a few balls in the back garden when I was young. But sport was always a big part of my life, be it be football, cricket, golf. Dad's a keen golfer. 2005 Ashes was obviously a big moment, I think, in English cricket. And that definitely got me involved in the game. But any sport, that competitive edge was always a massive part of my journey as a young kid through sport. I just love playing cricket, love playing golf, love playing football.
Oh, fair enough, Swin. And it's funny that you mentioned the 2005 Ashes. We do need to invest in a 2005 Ashes alarm here on the podcast, because it does seem to crop up every single episode some way or another. And today, the 6th of December, funnily enough, is Andrew Flintoff's birthday. So what a funny day to bring up the 2005 Ashes. And in terms of that series, because we always have to bring it up on the podcast, Harry, what was your go-to moment? If you could go back to 2005, 16 years ago, and relive just one moment from that extraordinary series, what moment would you choose and why?
It was probably the Peterson innings at the Oval. When I was a young lad, Peterson was always my sort of role model. I had the woodworm. I think that was one of my first ever bats. So I think it would have to be the Peterson 158 under pressure in the last test, Ashes series on the line. And to play how he did in the manner he did was amazing. So that's probably my standout moment.
We haven't usually had that one on the podcast, to be fair, but it is a very underrated moment. And talking of underrated knocks, I suppose, the man at the other end was a certain Warwickshire player, Ashley Giles. It was a wonderful partnership, wasn't it? Saving that final test. And one of the finest bits of Ashes crowd banter, I'll never forget it, was the Australian fans. When the light was getting a bit darker, they started putting their sunglasses on to almost say, oh, it's bright enough, we should keep on playing. And then the England fans started getting the umbrellas out as if it was going to rain. It was fantastic theatre in the crowd at the Oval. And what a series it was. It really was a remarkable series. And Harry, I just want to know if you would agree with me here. Do you think that the 2005 Ashes made cricket in this country that bit more mainstream, to the point where an entire generation was almost influenced to take up the game off of the back of that series?
Yeah, 100%. As you just said, I think a lot of people in my sort of age category will remember that series for the rest of their life. It was an amazing series. It definitely got me involved, and I'm sure it got thousands and thousands of other people of a similar age to me to fall in love with the game, and definitely make it more mainstream.
100%. It most certainly did, because again, if you're between that 22 to 27 year age bracket, it does seem as though it crops up on the podcast again and again and again. It really was a seminal moment, I think, in recent English cricketing history. It's one which I can't say I experienced live, which is a bit of a shame. A little bit too young for that, literally a couple of years. I started watching, English cricket in 2009 with the Monty Panesar and Jimmy Anderson Great Escape in Cardiff. Yeah. But my word, what a series. An absolutely extraordinary series in so, so many ways. And fingers crossed, 2021-22, who knows, could also be a memorable series for the England boys. And that isn't just because it's starting in 2 days that I've brought that up, but very much looking forward to that series. And Harry, in terms of those early days, you mentioned one name in particular, Kevin Peterson, and the woodworm bats, absolutely iconic. Their factory isn't that far away from me, actually. It's located in Worcestershire, near the town of Redditch. So yeah, a very, very, very iconic bat manufacturer, to say the least, here in the Midlands. But Kevin Peterson aside, who else in the world of cricket did you try to look up to and emulate, per se?
Yeah, as a keeper batter, it was always Gilchrist. He probably changed the game for wicketkeepers. It wasn't acceptable. It's not acceptable anymore to, average sort of 20 with a bat and be a good keeper. You have to be able to put match winning performances in with the bat, be that white or red ball. He changed the game in that sort of way, and with a bat, definitely De Villiers. I love it how he goes about his batting in all three formats. He's one of the best players ever. He used to have Cockerbrig ears like me, so all the sort of badger stuff, but now he's definitely someone who I look up to 100%.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't disagree with those choices, Harry. I really can't. I'm an RCB fan. So for me, AB De Villiers, one of my absolute all-time favourite cricketers. Just an absolute legend of the game.
Yeah. Oh, you and me together.
Exactly. What a player. What an incredible player. And Harry, this is going to put you on the spot a bit, but I suppose if you could relive one knock from Abraham Benjamin De Villiers, what knock would you choose? I know which one I would choose.
Yeah, maybe the 131 balls. that looked.
That's the one.
Yeah. Or the 160 what he got against the West Indies again in, I think it was Sydney in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brilliant. Not
I listened to a, I listened to a podcast on that, actually, and he said he didn't want to play because he was that tired or just felt really bad. And then he got 160 off 60 balls. So it's pretty scary how good he is.
What a player. What an absolutely extraordinary player. I'm gutted that he's retired. I really am, yes, because I never got to see him play live. And the one opportunity I had was 2019, Middlesex versus Gloucestershire at Cheltenham. And the night before, he got injured. So just so unlucky, but an extraordinary cricketer, an absolute legend of the game. And again, coming back to that theme, an innovator. I must admit, Harry, your three role models you've mentioned, Kevin Peterson, Adam Gilchrist, and AB de Villiers, very much the new generation, the innovators of the modern game. I mean, those guys have inspired the likes of Joss Butler, Rishabh Pant, to name but a couple of players. So some nice choices there. And I just want to focus in on Adam Gilchrist in particular, because you are a wicketkeeper batsman, Harry, as opposed to just being a specialist batsman or an all-rounder. I have to ask, why did you become a wicketkeeper in the first place? Why didn't you go into seam bowling, spin bowling? Why didn't you become an opening batsman and just focus on your batting? What was it about the art form of wicketkeeping that drew you in the first place?
Yeah, I've always wanted to bowl fast, but I'm 5'7", so it doesn't really give me much of a chance. I'm not too sure. I remember, I think when I was 9, I had trials for the under-11s at Leicester, and I didn't get in. And then we had a district, so I got them into the district team. There was no one who could keep wicket, and I was like, you know what, I'll give this a go. And then from that day, it's just stuck, really. The year after, I got into the age group team under 11s, and I was a wicketkeeper. Since sort of then, really, I like to be involved. I don't really like to sit on the sidelines, and yeah, I get a bit bored. I'm a very, very active person. I like to keep my mind active, and obviously wicketkeeping, you're in the game every single ball. And I probably just fell in love with it there, really. You can change the game behind the stumps. And I've always wanted to put myself under that and give myself the opportunity to try and change games and win games.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. That's quite similar to the answer that Tom Cullen gave, the Glamorgan wicketkeeper batsman, originally from Australia. But in terms of wicketkeeping and the art itself, what do you say is your favourite aspect? Is it that ability to, you know, pressurise the batsman, because you are the closest one to the batsman in the crease?
Yep.
You've got the opportunity to take some good stumping, some acrobatic catches. What is it about wicketkeeping that, I suppose, you know, is your favourite aspect or element of the art form itself?
I think it's just taking that nice catch, or, yeah, being able to, yeah, take a good catch, and then it changes the game. For your team, I love standing up. We played on a fair few spinning pitches this year at Grace Road, keeping to parky with men around the bat was amazing. Seeing the ball spin, seeing the ball bounce, was brilliant. Great fun to keep to parky. This season he was absolutely amazing. And yeah, that's probably the thing I look forward to the most. I reckon keeping on spinning pitches with men around the bat, it's good fun.
It most certainly is, and I love the answer as a spin bowler. Fair enough, not as good as Callum Parkinson and his 51 wickets in this year's County Championship, but I love that answer. And in fact, that ties in nicely to another question I had for today's podcast, and that is, what do you prefer keeping to? Do you prefer keeping to seam, or I'm guessing now, having heard that, do you prefer keeping to spin?
I think that spin's definitely more fun. Yeah, spin's definitely more fun. I think it's a lot more of a challenge. When one shoots quite low or one spins and bounces, it tests your technique. But there's nothing more, I don't think, satisfying than, you know, getting a real nice stumping or a nice catch standing up to the stumps. Obviously, standing back, you have a bit more time. Standing up, it's more fun, and the chances are harder. which makes it more rewarding when you do well and you can positively impact your team.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And some of the catches you can take, just the sharp reflexes and reactions, they do look good for the cameras. They really do. As do, you know, a nice sharp stumping, MS Dhoni-esque, I think. Oh, you can tell I'm a spinner, can't you, Harry?
That's the dream. That's the dream.
It most definitely is. And I just wanted to ask this, really, because we mentioned about spin bowling. And I've asked this to a lot of spinners on the podcast, and that is the relationship between the spin bowler and their keeper, because it's one of the most important mutual relationships in the game of cricket, in my opinion. You need to be able to have such a strong bond with your wicketkeeper so that you can almost read each other. So I wanted to ask, really, Harry, do you have that kind of relationship with Callum Parkinson? Because we asked this on the podcast to Cal Parkey, and he said that yourself, Lewis Hill, the wicketkeepers at Leicestershire, there does seem to be a really good intrinsic relationship with the wicketkeepers and the spin bowlers.
Yep, that's something we're working on every game and every day in practice. Definitely in my preparation before games, I like to catch a lot of balls off Cal, you know, and just see how it's coming out, see if there's, yeah, see what pace he's sort of bowling. And I find that a brilliant way to get me ready for the day. Me and Parky off the field, we're brilliant mates. Yeah, we're always together, always giving each other a bit of banter, which is good fun. And, you know, Nico and now Claude, obviously, is the left-arm spinner and a keeper. They're constantly drilling into us about, you know, understanding that relationship and yeah, having that honest feedback between each other during games and see how we best can go about trying to get the batters out. I don't think it's ever something that you fully get, but you're always trying to work on it. Every day, and hopefully it helps each other.
Yeah, that is the aim, isn't it? It's to almost have that telepathic connection between spin bowler and wicketkeeper, because you just think of some of the great relationships over the years. You do think Adam Gilchrist and Shane Warne. You think of MS Dhoni and Harbhajan, or MS Dhoni and Kumble, or MS Dhoni and Ashwin. I mean, there's a lot that MS Dhoni has done with regards to spinners over the years. You think Matt Pryor and Graham Swan as well. You think of Sangakkara and Murali. It's so, so important. It really is to have a good, strong connection between spin bowler and keeper, because you can change the narrative of a game with good spin bowling and good keeping. It's such an interesting element of the game, in my opinion, and definitely something for any young spinners and young keepers just to bear in mind. You know, just build that connection with your keeper or your spin bowler.
Yeah, definitely. I think as a keeper, we're very lucky that we can see, you know, you can see the batter's footwork, you can see the sort of facial expressions from close up. You get a full picture of the pitch. And definitely if you can build that relationship, it's only going to be positive. And we're both very keen to develop that over time. I think it's just important. I don't miss too many chances off him. If I do that, I think we'll have a good connection.
It definitely helps, yeah, as opposed to missing some stumpings, dropping some catches. Definitely does help build the bowler wicketkeeper relationship. But it's funny you mentioned there about having that almost eagle's eye view of the pitch, because as the keeper, you do have the best vantage point, to be honest, when it comes to that position behind the stumps. Have you picked up anything over the years in terms of batting, Harry? In terms of, you mentioned their footwork, have you picked up any, you know, tips and tricks from that position behind the stumps, watching opposition batsmen in full flow?
I think so, yeah. So you're always watching, yeah, the batters and to see how they go about their innings. It be that Red Bull cricket, 50 over cricket, T20 cricket. I definitely do feel like you get to see a lot more than if you're fielding at deep square or deep mid wicket. And, you know, over time, hopefully you can use that to your advantage and fast track your learning. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely do feel like you get to understand, yeah, how batters, yeah, go about their business from being a keeper. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe that's where I've gone wrong over the years. Maybe that's why, you know, I'm not averaging 50 in village cricket. That's why my average is 11, because I'm not the keeper. And my go-to shot is the outside edge. Maybe I need to stand behind the stumps. And, you know, we'll turn into the next village Virat Kohli or the next Alistair Cook or Joe Root. That's
You're only one game away. You're only one game away from doing well.
Harry, I'm really not. Unfortunately, if you've ever seen me batting, do you know Chris Martin? I'm not talking about the Coldplay singer. I'm talking about the former New Zealand tailender.
I've seen a few videos, yeah.
Unfortunately, when it comes to my style, I've got the bowling of Kevin Peterson and the batting of Chris Martin. Ideally, it should be the other way around. But that is why I host a county cricket podcast and don't play in the county championship. But that's enough about my absolutely dreadful batting, because I don't think many people want to listen to much more about that. But throughout today's episode so far, Harry, we've mentioned a lot and alluded to a lot, county cricket and Leicestershire County Cricket Club. So I think that's a lovely place to pick up the conversation and talk about the East Midlands County, because it is your home county. You're born in Leicester itself. It's always fantastic when we get the opportunity to speak to a guest who plays for their home first-class county. So in terms of that journey, when did you first start to become a county cricketer? When did that dream really start first entering your head and, you know, your thoughts, I can be a professional cricketer in England and Wales?
Yeah, I think I was selected to represent the Midlands in the Bunbury Festival when I was 15. So that was probably a bit of a light bulb moment to think that, I can hopefully achieve something successful in the game, playing with a lot of brilliant players. Tom Banton, obviously probably so far the most successful player in that team. Just learning from them sort of guys as a young player, definitely made the dream. It felt achievable. I felt that I was miles behind a lot of them lads, but yeah, I felt it was achievable. And ever since then, really, I learned a lot from them from that week at Oakham School. Since then, it probably became a dream and something I strive towards to achieve.
Well, it's funny you mention that, Harry, because you've lived it. You're now living the dream as we speak. So that's pretty cool, to say the least. And you mentioned Tom Banton there. Was that while he was part of the Warwickshire Academy?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so me and him were both keepers. He was at Warwickshire.
That's something that not many people actually realise. I am a Warwickshire fan, by the way, in case I haven't made that very, very clear, listeners. But yeah, Tom Banton was part of the Warwickshire Academy, and honestly, I can't believe we let him go. I mean, look what he's done now. He's playing in the Lancashire Premier League, I think, now, this week. Played for England. He's absolutely killed it for Somerset, but hey, fair play to him. You know what, he's worked hard. It was the right decision, and fair play. But in terms of those formative years then, in the county network, I suppose, Harry, what do you remember from your debut for Leicestershire County Cricket Club? You know, stepping onto that pitch for the first time as a boy born in Leicester, you're walking out onto that field with that Fox's cap on, representing your home county. What do you remember from the day itself, and how prestigious of an occasion was that for you personally?
Yeah, it was at Abus, a four-day game. Very, very nervous at the start. I think it was before the toss sort of days, so the away side got to choose what they wanted to do. It was pretty green, so we had a bowl. And luckily I got a catch probably in the sixth over to kind of settle the nerves, just to get off the mark, which was obviously a huge relief. But obviously it was another proud moment, getting my cap awarded from Nico, keeping to Mohammed Abbas. It was amazing first session, it was amazing first week.
Oh, fair enough, Harry, fair enough. I mean, what a lovely place to make your debut as well, Egbert. Beautiful outground. And I have to ask, is that your favourite outground in the country?
I've not played it too many, to be honest, it'll be a place that's always had it'll always have a fond memory, making my debut. It was a lovely ground. It was a great crowd. The crowd are obviously on top of you. Next to the boundary rope, which was brilliant. So far it's definitely probably my favourite one.
Fair enough. It is a lovely outground. For me personally, I have to choose Cheltenham. Cheltenham is absolutely spectacular. Honestly, Harry, I hope you get the chance to play there, to be honest, sooner rather than later.
We did play there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't choose Cheltenham then.
Yeah, definitely. I think I preferred Egworth more.
If only my Lancastrian co-host was here, he'd be absolutely loving the answer right now. But you mentioned there beforehand one name in particular, and that is, of course, Paul Nixon, a titan of Leicestershire County Cricket Club, a legend of the club in every single sense of the word, has been a very successful coach as well across the world in various franchise tournaments. I think of the CPL, for example. He won it with the Jamaica Telawars, who I happen to support, so I'll always like Nico for that. But in terms of working with him, you know, he is your coach. What is it like to work with someone of Paul Nixon's calibre? What is it like to work with a legend of the club? And I suppose, what's his style with regards to his coaching? What's he like to work under?
Yeah, he's got loads of energy. You know, if you wanted to hit balls at 6 a.m, he'd be the first man there. And if you wanted to hit balls at 10 p.m, he'd be the first man there. Yeah, he's got loads of energy, just constantly drills in, basically just doing the basics. At Grace Road, it's a bit lower maybe than other grounds. So can you get forward into the ball and hit the ball straight as a bowler? Can you hit top of off? And as a keeper, can you catch the ball for 6 hours? Yeah, drills in the basics, constantly talks about the basics, keeps it very simple. And yeah, he's got so much energy, so much enthusiasm that rubs off on a lot of the players.
Well, that is wonderful to hear. It really is. And as a young wicketkeeper batsman, you can't really have many better mentors, to be honest. I mean, in terms of recent county cricket, he is an absolute legend. He is a legend of Leicestershire County Cricket Club, has international experience for England as well, has coached all around the world. What a guy to have, you know, at your disposal to learn off of, to have those drills. And the way in which you describe him there seems like a fantastic coach as well, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's a brilliant coach. Yeah, he's obviously, for me, I'm very lucky that, yeah, I've got that international and huge, huge county experience to learn from every single day. And he's always open to telling a story. And yeah, you have to be a sponge and try and soak it all in. And he makes it very clear that I've got to find my own style and my own way of doing things. But yeah, he definitely shares his knowledge, and it's something that I've definitely learned from. And he's a brilliant guy to speak to as well on like the mental side of the game. Some of his processes and the way he thinks about the game is brilliant. And yeah, obviously he's a brilliant technical coach, but as a mental coach, I think he's also brilliant as well.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because here on the podcast, we do always talk about the psychological aspect of the game as well, because it's a massive, massive part of cricket. I don't want to sound too cliche, but it is like, you know, the 10% physical, 90% mental when it comes to the sport of cricket, because it's such a battle. It's a psychological battle. You're battling against yourself as well when you're not in form. Okay, things start creeping into your game. You start having doubts. You start almost being your worst enemy at times in the game of cricket. So I have to ask, Harry, how do you maintain that even keel yourself? Let's say you have gone through a rough patch, whether that's with the bats or with the gloves in hand. How do you maintain level-headed? How do you make sure that that doesn't get to you as the cricket season gets underway?
I think that's the million-dollar question. It's hard, but it's something that you have to find your own way to do it. Tom Smith always says, you know, stay level, and that's one of the big things he tells a lot of lads. County cricket, you can have an amazing week one week, think you're best player in the world, and then the next week, you know, get a pair, drop a couple of catches, and you're the worst player. So I think that comes with experience and comes with a bit, comes with that. When you have a few good games, you know, you lean on that experience in a rough patch. And I think that's probably how the best players go about it. They're a lot more level. If they score 150, you're exactly the same as if they score naught. You definitely see that of Akers. One of the most experienced players in our dressing room. He's very level. You wouldn't know if he played a match winning innings or he got a pair, which is a brilliant trait of his, and something that as a young group, we try and learn from the way he goes about it, and Righty as well. But yeah, it's a very, very important skill that I think you need to have to perform well in county cricket.
It is indeed. And in fact, Harry, do you have any, I don't know, almost coping mechanisms or things that you have outside of the game to help you with the pressure, I suppose? Because it's so difficult not to let it get to you. It really is, because as you say, especially in the world of social media now, where we as fans also do have that interconnective element, I suppose, when it comes to connecting and interacting with cricketers and other sporting, you know, people as well, and athletes. And do you have anything that helps you maintain that level-headedness in terms of strategies or mechanisms that you can, I don't know, pass on to any young cricketers out there?
I feel like it's just important to sort of get away from the game, be it you're doing well or not doing as well as you'd like. You know, yeah, I love my football. I'm a season ticket holder at Leicester City. So that gets me away, and that gets me, you know, enjoying time with friends and family. Exactly the same with golf. It gets you away from the game, gets you with friends and family. You know, having that good support network around you who are level and are very honest with their feedback and stuff like that. But yeah, something I'm still trying to work out. I think it's just, for me, it's just important to, you know, if I get a duck, not watching that dismissal back 15 times, and if you score 100, not watching your innings back 15 times. Just staying level, just enjoying the time, enjoying the ride, work hard, and yeah, see how we go.
Exactly. And I think that's some good advice, to be honest, for any budding cricketers out there, in particular, if you are a batter, because if what you have to know, and it's such a hard truth to come to terms with, but you're going to fail more times than you succeed. And that is a problem when it comes to the art of batting. It's not always going to be your day. You're not always going to go out there, score 50 or a century. There's going to be times when you get an unplayable delivery. You play a stupid shot. You get out in a weird manner. But it's all about the way in which you bounce back. And I always say this on the podcast, and this is coming from an absolutely terrible batsman. Okay, don't take batting technical advice off me. But one thing that I always look at is when we look at the greats, I'm talking the Tendulkars, the Pontings, the Sir Alistair Cooks, the Jai Wardeners, the Brian Laras. What do we remember them for? Do we remember them for the times they got trapped LBW on a golden duck? Do we remember the times that they threw their wickets away? No, we don't. Remember them for the centuries. Remember them for the match-winning knocks, for the incredible shot selection that they used to display. And I just think that's something important, because sometimes the psychological and mental aspects of the game do get too much. And that can be at any level, not just professional. Okay, if you're struggling in village cricket, I know people have had to take some time away as well. So it's all about maintaining that calmness, that level-headedness, and again, just maintaining that even keel. It's such an important skill to have in a game like cricket, where a lot of the battles that you face are off-field. So that's just some advice for any young batters out there, young boys and girls. Just take that advice on, please. Take it on board, put it into your game. And yeah, who knows? Maybe one day could have you on the podcast, you know, in county cricket. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, just some sage advice to take away from today's podcast. But on the flip side of that, Harry, we've spoken there about the tougher elements of the game of cricket, because as we all know, it is a tough sport at times. But in terms of your time at Leicestershire County Cricket Club so far, what do you say has been your proudest moment, your real career highlight to date? Do you have one moment, one innings, I don't know, a piece of glove work per se that you can kind of look at and say, I was really proud of that. That would be my highlight from my time at Grace Road so far.
As a team, my first red 4-day win at Worcester against Lancashire. And yeah, on that day, I caught Tom Bailey, I think, the first ball after tee on day four. It was a diving one-handed catch to my right. And then we managed to chase about 160, I think, in about 15 overs. Acker's got 75 off 30 balls or something ridiculous. And we won with about an over and a half to spare. So definitely, as a team, that win was amazing. It was after COVID, so it was the first game after COVID, August 2020. And just to celebrate with your teammates was amazing after a tough period. And individually, it was probably my 171 against Somerset, which was pretty cool, sharing it with Eddie Barnes. Batting with him for a decent time was amazing. He's a good mate of mine, so to spend that time out there with him was amazing.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we'll talk about that in due course, but I was just interested there, the order that you gave those highlights in. Team first, individual second. In terms of your mentality surrounding the game of cricket, Harry, is it fair to say that you are a team first man as opposed to individual accolades?
I'd like to think I am, yeah. I suppose that question might be for someone else to determine, but I'm very hungry and I want to do well for the team, and nothing more I'd love than to win a trophy for Leicester and get that first piece of silverware since 2011. And it's something as a club we're striving to do.
Top man. I imagine the Leicestershire faithful will absolutely love the answer to that question. Put a nice grin on my face. I'm not even a Foxes fan. I'm a Warwickshire fan. So no, fair play. I always like that mentality, that outlook. Team first, individual second. It's important to strive for success with the team, in my opinion, at least. And talking of success, Harry, you alluded to it there. The 171 out. We have to talk about that innings, because we spoke about it, myself and Joe, here on the podcast on our weekly review show. It was one of the most crazy innings and partnerships of the year. Just to put this into context for the listeners out there who don't know what we're talking about, career best score of 171 outs against Somerset at the Cooper Associates County Ground during an unbeaten 203-run 8th wicket stand with Ed Barnes, who scored 83 not out. Bear in mind that Ed Barnes, I think before this season, was averaging 16, he's averaging 8.5. It's now gone up to 16, his average. His average has doubled since that knock. In terms of that day, Harry, what can you remember from that partnership with your mate Ed Barnes?
Just amazing. We'd lost a couple of wickets, and I can't remember exactly, but I think we needed about 50 or 60 maybe, with 3 wickets left to avoid the follow-on. So obviously that was our first target. And thankfully we did that. Then I remember us needing about, I think we needed about 30 or 3 overs for the next batting point. And Barnes, what do you think, mate? Should I go for it? And I was like, just keep batting. You know, there's a long time in this game. Just play how you see it, but... yeah, just trust yourself, basically. And next minute I know, he proceeded to hit 30 off about 15 balls. Was hitting the ball everywhere, which was amazing to watch. He was farming the strike and just did it all himself, which was amazing viewing. And the applause what he got from the dressing room. I think he actually hit 4 off the last ball. To get that batting point, which was amazing. But then it was just. A lot of fun.
I can imagine, yeah. So it was a wonderful partnership to watch as a neutral. And it's a good ground, isn't it, for batting, the CACG in Taunton?
Yeah, it was a lovely pitch. I got dropped on, I think, 20. I tried to make hay. It was a lovely pitch, small ground. A bit of pace, a bit of bounce, which I think suited my batting. Thankfully I had a good day.
You most certainly did. And again, I think that really capped off an excellent season individually for you, to be honest, Harry. Because to put this into context as well, for the listeners out there, in 2021, in the County Championship, Leicestershire County Cricket Club's second leading run scorer with 693 runs at 43.31. That was the 33rd most runs scored in the entirety of the 2021 County Championship. In addition to that 171 out as well, this season you also got your maiden Foxes century, 103 from 152 balls against Surrey at Grace Road. So in hindsight, and in your own words, Harry, how would you put the 2021 season into your own words? How would you summarise your experiences in the county circuit in this previously concluded season?
Yeah, I was looking back. I was happy. I wanted, as an individual, to... cement my place in the side. I wanted to put consistent performances in. For the team, and thankfully I had a had a few good games. I still want to be a lot more consistent, and there's still a lot more things that I need to work on to keep improving my game, which is exciting for the winter. But no, I was pretty happy with the bat in Red Bull cricket. Like I said, a lot more to work on, but yeah, gave me some good learnings from the year. To go into 2022.
100%. And yeah, not to sound too cliche, but sounds like always proud, never satisfied, which to be honest is a good mentality to have, you know, always positive, that growth mentality heading into 2022. And before we talk about 2022, that'll be the final question for today's episode. We do, of course, have our Twitter questions. Now, our first one is from a long-term listener of the podcast, Jake Firth, massive, massive Foxes fan, absolutely loves Leicestershire County Cricket Club. Harry, his question for you is, when you post photos of Barbados on Instagram, do you take new photos or do you just repost Ben Mike's?
He's a good man to follow, Ben Mike. He loves his Instagram. He said the other day that he should be an Instagram model or something. So he backs himself. I actually asked him to send me the photo about an hour before, and next minute I know it's on Instagram. So he's snaked me out there.
Well, there we go. We got to the bottom of that, because Jake's been wanting to ask that for about a week. So there you go, Jake. I hope that is a sufficient answer. We now know the root of that. And to be fair, Ben Mike, what a lad. Came to Warwickshire in 2019 when we needed him most. And yeah, batted out the end of the day's play at Hampshire. I'll never forget that with Jeet and Patel. Moving on to our next one. This is from Peter Dixon. And Harry, this question is quite a good one. This is from one of your local cricket clubs, actually. Peter says, my big question, and something that's been on my mind for a long time, will you ever go back to your homeland, aka Leicester Ivanhoe Cricket Club?
Yeah, we'll have to see. He's actually in Melbourne at the minute. He's an Aussie. We'll have to see, Peter. We're not too sure. I'm not too sure.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, only time will tell. I think that's the best way we can answer that. This next one is from CB Chats. This is an interesting question, to be honest. He asks, who is the best pure wicketkeeper in the county game currently? So I'm guessing in terms of the technical aspects of the art form, who do you think is the best wicketkeeper in county cricket right now?
Yeah, for me, I watch a lot of Simpson and folks. Simpson kept it Grace Road this year, and he was amazing. I don't think he dropped a ball for 4 days. He was brilliant. And folks, obviously, a slightly different style, but equally as effective and talked about as the best keeper in world cricket. As a county cricketer and as English players, there's a high ceiling there. You have to learn from these sort of guys and try and get better. But them two, Grace Road this year, were amazing.
Yeah, good choices. We've had Simmer on the podcast as well. Great, great value. Lovely bloke. So I like that choice. And Ben Foulkes, one of the best in the world right now, without a shadow of a doubt. I think back to the India series. Earlier this year, he was absolutely exceptional in really, really tough conditions. He made it look easy. And that's how you know he's one of the real elites, one of the best of the best when you've got the ability to do that. So yeah, Ben Foulkes, I like those.
Also Wheater as well, keeping to Harmer.
Yes, in Chelmsford.
Yeah, he's always in the game, and obviously on big spinning pitches, he does an amazing job. I've never actually seen him keep live, but all the stumpings and the catches what he gets on look so difficult. So I think he's a brilliant keeper as well.
To be fair, when you think about it, in county cricket right now, there's loads of good keepers, aren't there? I think even like the likes of Michael Burgess, he's had an outstanding season with the gloves for the Bears. Tom Moores as well for Notts. Like, there's so many. It's a good time, really, to be a keeper. It's going to be very competitive, though, isn't it, when it comes to England honours?
Yeah, Ollie Robinson, Jamie Smith, other young keepers as well. There's a lot of competition, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it most certainly is. Again, another one of our former podcast guests, Ollie Robinson from Kent. Yeah, got a very, very bright future, that guy. Scored a century against my beloved Bears on my birthday in 2019, so I'll always thank him for that. But that is a wonderful, wonderful bloke. And in terms of our last Twitter question then, Harry, this is from Jay Sean, and he asks, who is the toughest bowler to face in the Grace Road Nets?
righties obviously very challenging. Often when the pitches get really dry, Akers and Parkey can be really hard as well. I'd have to say Barnsley as well, especially down the hill in the nets at Grace Road. He had an uncanny knack of hitting me in place that I didn't want to get hit last summer. I think it was every net session I went through a time of hitting me everywhere. Probably them four I find the hardest.
Quite a few then. It's not just one.
quite a few, no. You don't want to buy the nets.
Not fair enough. It shows the quality of the Leicestershire boys. And you've mentioned Colin Ackerman a few times, right? This isn't one of the Twitter questions. This is one of my personal ones. You'll probably remember the game, Harry, but 2019, I'll never, ever forget this. Wednesday, the 7th of August, under the lights at Grace Road, T20 Blast game on a Wednesday. And Colin Ackerman took 7 for 18.
Yeah.
Do you remember the game?
Yeah, definitely remember the game. I was playing, it was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. To say you were on the field when he did that was something I'll remember for the rest of my life. And what a man is! He's an amazing cricketer, amazing person, and he puts performances in consistently in all three forms. And yeah, he's a brilliant player. He's in South Africa at the minute with the Netherlands side. He's an amazing player.
He most certainly is. Yeah, I'll never forget that night either. I was there at Grace Road watching the Bears getting absolutely demolished by Colin Ackerman. 7 for 18. Figures that will haunt me for the rest of my life. So fingers crossed I can get Ackers on the podcast one day to have some closure with regards to that night at Grace Road, and then on the way back as well. England were playing Switzerland at the King Power, so got stuck in a load of traffic as if the mood wasn't bad enough already. But it happens. Look, cricket's like that sometimes. It does, does have a good way of levelling you, let's just say the least. But probably aside from the Twitter questions, our concluding segment for today's episode then, 2022. We're not actually that far away, thankfully, as a cricket fan. I mean, that's a great thing to say for me as a lover of county cricket, but we're around about 4 months away from the county grind getting underway once more. In terms of 2022, what are your aspirations, your ambitions with the Foxes, both from an individual and a team perspective, heading into next season?
Yeah, as a team, last season we showed improvements and we competed in games for a lot longer. I think we were 5 points potentially off finishing the middle group, which was our goal at the start of the season. I think we developed a lot playing against Division One counties and seeing the standards and the ability that them sort of guys have and competing against them. The first two games last season were challenging, but after that we definitely grew as a side. A lot more people stuck their hands up. We've seen how Marcus Harris went about it with a bat. We've seen our righty went about it with the ball. We've seen Parkey excel again with a ball. And, we want to be challenging for promotion. That's where we want to be. That's where we have to be. Obviously that's our goal going into 2022.
And what about from an individual perspective, Harry? Do you have any... I know not many cricketers have goals or aims in terms of targets from a personal perspective, but from an individual point of view, aside from promotion, is there anything else you'd want to achieve from a personal perspective next season?
Yeah, for me, I always judge my batting as if I'm a top order batter. So, in top order batter, you want to average 40 plus, and that's where I want to be. And as a keeper, keep improving, minimise my percentage of drops, missed chances. And make sure that keeps on, percentage keeps on going down. And that's sort of my goals. I like to keep it quite simple. Just try and do the things I did well this year, again next year, and improve on the things that I lacked next year as well. Obviously, next year is going to be a lot more different challenges, different teams, different bowlers, different conditions. So I have to adapt to whatever comes my way. But averaging 40, that's the goal.
I think it goes without saying, to be honest, Harry, but obviously we here at the County Cricket Podcast wishing both yourself and Leicestershire as a club nothing but the very best of luck heading into the 2022 season. I've said this so many times on the podcast. The project at Grace Road is so exciting. It really is with yourself, Scott Steele, Rishi Patel. You've got so many fantastic, fantastic players at Grace Road. There's a real buzz. There's a real excitement for the future at the East Midlands County. So wishing both yourself and the club all the best of luck heading into the 2022 season. I have absolutely no doubt that we'll be hearing the name Harry Swindles on a number of our weekly review shows as well. Maybe, who knows, after a 250-run partnership with Ed Barnes, we'll have to wait and see heading into the 2022 season. But to be honest, Swin, I think that's quite a nice way to wrap up today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. So before we say our goodbyes, do you have anything to quickly plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
No, I don't know. Just thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And keep the good work with the podcast. Really enjoy listening to it. So keep up the good work.
My pleasure, mate. Honestly, it's been an absolute delight having you on the podcast, Harry. It's been a long time coming, to be fair. But at the same time, you know what they say, good things come to those who wait. And that has definitely panned out on today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. But to all of our wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.